Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Well, Dr. Scripture 2021 has finally arrived, so let me say Happy New Year.
Yes, Scott, 2020 was a year to remember or forget.
Yeah.
However, regardless of the trials and tribulations we all faced to varying degrees, I trust we all learned a lot about ourselves and drew closer to the Lord. And now, with a new calendar year before us, I wanted to begin the year with a truly remarkable Scripture on Creation radio program. Scott, do you remember Mark Armitage?
Yes. He's the electron microscope guy who is an expert on soft tissue in dinosaur bones.
That's him. We interviewed him several years ago after he had published some fantastic research that showed unfossilized tissue and cells in a Triceratops horn dug up in Montana.
And didn't he get fired from his job at a California State University after he published the results on that dinosaur soft tissue?
Yes, he did. And now he's published more research showing even more astonishing soft tissues in dinosaur remains. And that's why I really wanted to have him on the program again to tell us about his latest findings, as well as fill us in on what happened after the university fired him. Mark Armitage, welcome to Scripture on Creation.
Well, thank you. It's been some time and there's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, you've got a paper published where you weren't using electron microscopy so much, but ultraviolet autofluorescence microscopy. We're going to talk about that paper published in September of this year, 2020, in just a few minutes. But Mark, why don't you first let us know what your background is and catch us up on what you've been doing the last few years.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, I got my bachelor's at Liberty in education. Then I got a master's in biology and electron microscopy at the Institute for Creation Research Graduate School, which used to be in San Diego, but they closed it down. But I studied under Richard Lumsden, who was the dean of the graduate school at Tulane for many years. And when he became a Christian, they threw him out of Tulane. But he trained me in electron microscopy, and so that's what led me to the first paper, which was published back in 2012, based on the soft tissues that we recovered from the Triceratops horn, a 48-inch long horn at the Hell Creek Formation in Montana.
And that's when you were at California State Northridge, right?
Correct, yes. Okay. I was running a million-dollar laboratory in the biology department. It was the biological imaging facility. And then I went on the dig, and I collected my data, and one of the founders of the department, who was the editor of Acta Histochemica, kept begging me for an article, so I submitted the paper on the soft tissue in the Triceratops horn, and 2 weeks later, I was terminated from my position. So, it was quite an experience. You asked previously how that ended up. Well, the university ended up settling with us out of court because we, through discovery, found a bunch of smoking gun emails that showed that they were plotting against my religion to terminate me from the department. And so we calculated that it cost the university about $1.5 million to remove me from my position.
For goodness sakes. What was the upshot? You said you settled out of court. What ended up happening?
They asked the judge to adjudicate, to actually rule on the case, and she did. She ruled that they did discriminate against my religion.
Huh.
And the judge said, if this goes to trial, which we were about to, we had already hired all the folks we needed to go to trial because the university was just dragging their feet, and we were going to trial. And the judge said, the first fact that will be identified in this trial is that you already discriminated against him and his religion. So they figured, all right, that sounds like a losing case. So they settled out of court with us. So there was no precedent other than her judgment that they did discriminate. She did find as a fact that they did discriminate against my religion.
So then from there, now you're in Washington State. And what are you doing there?
We've started a lab and we've started an organization. We're called the Dinosaur Soft Tissue Research Institute. And
how cool is that?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, no, it is.
Congratulations. That is wonderful.
Well, thank you. We have a board of directors and it's an open board. So, you know, we're building an organization that others can take over. And, you know, you can just put me in the basement. I'll just play with the microscopes down in the basement. But we've made some fantastic discoveries and they're ongoing. We have papers in press right now on new things that are just going to blow everybody's mind. But
great.
In this paper that you've just referred to, you know, we kind of added to the current shocking discoveries that are ongoing. For example, the chromosomes that were found by Elizabeth Boatman and her whole group, which included Dr. Mary Schweitzer.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, they found chromosomes that were lined up across a division plate, like in mitosis. It was an artifact of cell death, and so they were kind of frozen in that position.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first time anyone's ever imaged dinosaur chromosomes.
Wow.
And so that was published at the end of 2019. So this is a follow-up to that, and we're showing, hey, we're finding some incredible things too. For example, we showed the vein valve. Some of our veins have valves in them because they have to hold the blood in place in order to move it forward to the heart.
Right, otherwise the blood would just slosh up and down. So this just keeps pumping it in one direction. It only lets it move in one direction, pretty much.
Correct. And it keeps that volume intact, so there's no break in it. And it's really hard to separate vein valves from recent tissue. In other words, if you sacrifice an animal and take out their veins and try to get the vein valves out, they're very difficult to get out. But here, we're finding with the dinosaur bones, when we demineralize these bones, and remember, this is what's so shocking about these bones, is they're not turned into rock. They're still bone. They still respond to the same laboratory procedures that are performed in hospitals all over the country, all over the world, every day. It's called decalcification.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we did. We put these bones in a decalcification solution. They kind of fall apart, and all the soft tissues that are in them fall out on the petri dish.
So would you say technically then these bones aren't really fossilized, or what would we say, permineralized? I mean, they really are just sort of bones out there in the dirt.
They're still bones in the dirt. They're not permineralized.
Yeah.
Now, 65
million years they've been laying around like that.
Well, yeah, this begs the question, you know, how can they be that old? I mean, that all of this stuff begs that question. But now, if you look at the first paper that I published, the Acta Histochemica paper on the horn, we showed that the vessels at the center of the horn, there's this huge vasculature at the center of the horn, and it's about a 9-10 inch in diameter horn. But at the center, all the water percolated down through those vessels because the horn was sheared away from the skull and it was jammed point down into the dirt.
Huh, okay.
So the part that was ripped away from the skull was completely exposed and 2 feet from the surface of the dirt there in Montana. So all the water seeping in went through those vessels and permineralized the vessels, but all the bone surrounding it was still bone, and we were able to decalcify that away.
That is,
and you can
amazing.
See those pictures in the first paper. You see those hardened vessels. Picture it this way. Think about the slab of concrete in your garage, and imagine a whole bunch of plumbing in there. You know what a slab leak is, right? How horrible it is to have to deal with a slab leak because you got to bust up all that concrete to get to the plumbing
inside. To get to the pipes, yep.
Well, imagine just dissolving that concrete away, and now you have all the pipes. Well, that's what we did. We dissolved the bone away. The pipes were there, but the pipes were hardened because they were permineralized. But all the bones surrounding them was still bone.
For goodness sakes, that is
all
amazing.
All the soft tissue in them. Yeah. No. So we called it selective permineralization.
Huh.
But we've recovered so many bones from Montana in two locations that are just bone. And in some cases, it's almost like coffee grounds. When you take them out of the ground, you have to take the dirt or the matrix from around it to hold it all together. Because it's almost like coffee grounds in some instances, but the soft tissues are still there, which is amazing.
Well, stunning. One of the amazing facts you mentioned in your paper was, I think it was 19 fossils that were taken from a museum in Canada were examined. 14 of them were dinosaur fossils, and every single one of those fossils had soft tissue in it.
Yeah, and those were sitting in a museum for who knows how many years or decades.
Yeah, so I remember very clearly back years ago when we talked last time, Mark, you know, at that time, we were just beginning to find some soft tissue here and there, but you made a prediction, and it looks like you were spot on, that perhaps most fossils were going to be found with soft tissue in them. In other words, it would be the rule rather than the exception, and it really seems to be the case.
Yeah, no, I'm gratified that prediction is coming true. But the problem is studying dinosaur soft tissues in secular academia is a career killer. So there's not a lot of people really going after this. And that's why we decided to start the Institute, because we are dedicated to one thing, characterizing dinosaur soft tissue from as many digs, as many burial environments, and as many taxa or different types of organisms as possible. We're well on the road to that, but we are a 501c3 organization, and if your folks would like to support us, we'd love to have their support.
And that's where we'll have to stop in the interview today. Now, what we talked about in the rest of the interview was what he discovered in his latest work and then published in the September issue of Microscopy Today. And I can't overstate the significance of the results of his research as it addresses evolutionary claims concerning the age of dinosaur fossils. Now, if any listeners want to check out his latest work, even before we air the rest of my interview with Mark Armitage on our next program, you can go to his organization's website, dstri.org, which stands for Dinosaur Soft Tissue Research Institute, dstri.org. And there, you can see his articles on dinosaur soft tissue, as well as excellent videos about the research being done. His most recent article's title is UV Autofluorescence Microscopy of Dinosaur Bone Reveals Encapsulation of Blood Clots Within Vessel Canals. Now, it's a technical journal article, but the pictures alone are worth checking it out.
Well, Dr. Scripture, this is one of those times I really do wish we weren't just a 15-minute radio program. It's a shame we can't hear the whole interview all at once.
I totally agree, Scott. And so here's what I'm going to do. The entire interview was about a half an hour long, and I'm going to put it up in its entirety on our podcast right away, so anyone can hear the rest of our discussion of Mark's research, as well as the other things we discussed, before it's even aired on the radio. So, Scott, let's tell everyone how they can listen to the podcast.
Well, it's available through the podcast outlets, Apple or Android. Just search for Scripture on Creation and download it for free. Or you can go to the website, scriptureoncreation.org, and click on the radio button at the top of the homepage. On the radio page, podcast is one of the options. Click podcast and you'll be able to choose whatever Scripture on Creation program you want to listen to.
And the title of the whole Mark Armitage interview is Mark Armitage Interview Uncut.
Fancy that.
Well, did you have a better title?
I guess not.
Now, for those of you who can't listen to the podcast, please tune in again next time to hear the rest of my interview with Mark Armitage, co-founder of the Dinosaur Soft Tissue Research Institute. It is really exciting. It's a fact. The theory of evolution is a stronghold of deception in this age. But no matter how entrenched a philosophy or idea may be, the truth doesn't change, and it has a way of chipping away at the foundations of institutionalized error. Soft tissue in dinosaur remains is reality, but who would have thought some tiny little blood vessels and nerve fibers could bring down the entire framework of a worldview so widely embraced by a sinful world? You know, I think it's similar to something Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.